Well, dear brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, yesterday I found myself reading the names on the chalkboard at a local Caribou while I was waiting for my coffee to be brewed. And there was a question written on the chalkboard that said this: who do you honor? Who do you honor? Well, people had written mom and dad, my sister, my brother, John, Aunt Ida, George, and many other first names. And I'm thinking, especially after having worked on this message, where's God's name? Well, finally, I discovered Jehovah, kind of mixed in with all the rest. And then it was like I heard this voice inside of me saying, write my name. And I thought, oh my gosh, I must go and write the name of God up there. After all, I am a pastor. How could I leave, get my coffee, and walk out of there and drink the coffee knowing that I had not written the name of God on the board? Guilt. So I did. I took that bright pink chalk, and I thought, I'm writing God. So unlike me, but I did it, and I felt good about it when I left. Who do you honor? The question continues to echo in my mind and heart, and I wonder if it does yours as well. Who do you honor in your life? Who do you honor? Who do you honor? As in God, the Trinity? Who do you honor? And how do you let others know by your actions, by your words, your speech, who you honor? Moses' message to God's people after they had been delivered from slavery and captivity in Egypt was threefold. Verse 3 in the last chapter that I read, look for these three words: remember. Remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, because the Lord brought you out from there by the strength of his hand. Verse 8. You shall tell your child on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And, verse 10, you shall keep this ordinance at its proper time every year, from year to year. Remember, tell, and keep. Three imperatives, three commands from Moses that helped the people of Israel and people all across generations now to honor, just as they did then, today, our ever-present, faithful God, our God who protects, who never leads us, who never leaves us as we lead others into their faith, as we tell and share our stories, as we remember what God has done for us as Christians through Jesus Christ. In his book, The Unnecessary Pastor, Eugene Peterson writes, my two sons are both rock climbers, and I have listened to them plan their ascents. They spend as much or more time planning their climbs as in the actual climbing. They meticulously plot their route, and then as they climb, they put in what are called protection pitons, hammered into small crevices in the rock face, with attached ropes that will stop a quick descent to death. Rock climbers who fail to put in this protection have very short-lived climbing careers. Our pitons, or our protection, comes as we remember and hold on to those times when we have experienced God's faithfulness in our lives. Every answered prayer, every victory, every storm that has been calmed by the hand of God, by God's presence, is a piton that keeps us from falling, losing hope, losing our faith. Every piton in our life from the hand of God is an example of God's faithfulness to us. It is in remembering how God has come to us in the past that gives us hope for the future and deepens our faith along the way. For it is in the remembering and then in the sharing and the telling of those stories that we begin to make sense of our lives. We create meaning. We experience the gift of community with others. And in the telling of those stories, we can look and we can hear God's voice speaking to each one of us. I hear my story. My story connects with your story, and all of our stories connect with God's stories. Frederick Buechner, a minister and author, in his book, Telling Secrets, writes, "Maybe nothing is more important than that we keep track, you and I, of these stories, of who we are and where we have come from and the people we have met along the way, because it is precisely through these stories, in all their particularity, that God makes God's self known to us. Each time he does that, it becomes more powerful and personal." Last evening, I had the privilege of being at a fundraiser for Mano Amiga, specifically celebrating Meals from the Heart, founded by Tom Thietz, a good friend from Trinity Lutheran Church. Dick and Kay Keene were there, along with my other friends, and I think that we would all agree that this was just a beautiful example of how God's faithful, how God is faithful, and how his love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion has worked in the lives of so many, changing lives for the better. Serving beyond bars is what this particular ministry was called. And what Tom and his people have done is brought meal packing into the prison at Oak Park Heights. There, offenders, along with volunteers, non-offenders, work side by side to pack meals that will be distributed to those in need, locally and very far away as well. And in this beautiful coming together, the imprisoned come to know that they do have worth. Maybe that's the first time they've ever heard that or experienced it. That they can positively impact another life, and that maybe for the first time, they can feel good about themselves. As they have taken away from society, now is their time to give back in a very meaningful way. Some of these offenders had even created beautiful works of art that were on display that we could purchase, and the money would go towards funding another meal packing service. They can't wait because this gives them such joy. Imagine to do something so simple that will impact other lives to come. This is a story that needs to be remembered, to be told, to be shared, to be witnessed. And it will be, time and time and again, as this was their third annual fundraiser. Tom is leaving a legacy. This is Moses left a legacy of what was important in his life, of what his faith was comprised of whom he honored. And now he's showing people what that faith looks like by extending his heart and his ministry with his food service through the prisoners and others to those in need. We too are called to leave a legacy of faith, and I think that's what Moses was getting at in this particular part of the gospel, of the text that we heard today. Remember, tell, and keep on telling, because that's how our faith grows. That is how we see God and hear God working in our lives. And when we do that, we too have a new purpose, and we sense this wanting to share even more. Well, Tom was not the only one who was speaking of leaving a legacy last night. Patty Wetterling was the keynote speaker. And she was asked to come and speak long before Jacob's body was discovered. So we all wondered how this might have changed her, what she might say now, compared to what she might have said before. But she spoke about Jacob's legacy, and she spoke about the last 27 years since his abduction and how her faith, their family's faith, community support, prayers, letters, and the continued outpouring of this love got them through some of the very worst times that we can only begin to imagine. And it is now the work of the Jacob Wetterling Foundation that continues to inspire them and give them hope for Jacob and all those who have known the abuse that he experienced, for those, for the parents, for the families, and even for the perpetrators. She said that is where we really have to focus now to stop this, to get to the people who inflict this harm before they do it again. So much needs to be done. Patty said she has written a book for Jacob's nieces and nephews because they will never know him. They will only have heard about him. But she wants them to know who this sweet boy was, who loved sports, who loved football. And so she began her book with these words: "Let me tell you about your Uncle Jacob. Remember, tell, and keep on telling the stories that connect us, the stories of our faith, our struggles, of whom we honor in our lives. Because after us, when we are gone, how will our children know? How will those who come after us know what is important, what we believed, what the truth is, if we don't, in some way, shape, or form, tell them?" In the Jewish tradition, this is called leaving an ethical will. And Dr. Barry Baines is a doctor in the Twin Cities who has worked with people in hospice, people who are dying, and over he would hear them say, "Oh, I wish I had told my story. I wish my children would know this. I wish. And so he began a program called Celebrations of Life, where he trains volunteers or people to go out and help people write their stories, to create their stories, their legacy, so that they have a legacy, so their families will know who was important to them, who honored them, what were their struggles, their pains, their joys. If any of you want to know more about that, just talk to me afterwards. It's an area where I am very passionate, and I have materials that can help you do that. I would love to help you do that. I'm wearing a necklace today that I found at an art fair in Hudson not too long ago, and it simply says, "Your story matters. Your story matters." And when I found that, I thought, my goodness, that's exactly what Moses was trying to say, and God wants us to know in sharing our story. Our stories do matter. As Christians, we believe that God has delivered us from bondage to sin and death through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And it is in this meal that we will soon be celebrating together that we as a community come together and we celebrate and we remember that God has given his one and only Son for each and every one of us, so that we might have and know the depth of his love, the vastness of his forgiveness, the words of wonder of his grace, and his promise for us of eternal life. We have much to remember and tell and celebrate and keep on sharing this day and on all days. We too are called to leave legacies as we live as people of God, mindful of all that God has done for each and every one of us, passing on the good news of Jesus Christ and celebrating God's goodness. To God be the glory. Amen.